Welcome to another episode of Good Vibrations. My guest today is Shai Danon of the Raising the Frequency website. You can find him on YouTube under the Ahava 528 channel, as in the love frequency 528 hertz and all that good stuff. Now, this is a dude that I connected with on Event 202, which was this conference event on the 30th of April, which brought together, there you go, sounding good. Proper vibes, good vibrations, right?
Yes.
So we were together on Event 202, which was this conference event, and it was designed to simulate possible scenarios in terms of how this coronavirus nonsense might play out. And there were a bunch of guest speakers that were all bringing their skills and their expertise to the table. It was a 3.5 hour broadcast. I thought it was worth doing. I thought there's a lot of value in it.
Yeah.
And I came across Shai for the first time as a result of doing that broadcast. And I thought he said some really sensible things. We were on the same page with a lot of it. And we did say that we should get together and do a show sometime soon. So it's taken quite a while, but we've got there today. So we're crossing over to Israel to speak to Shai. Welcome on, brother.
Cheers, mate. It's a pleasure to be here. And I can only approve what you just said, because I remember when we did this 202 event, when you started to speak, I immediately, on the private chat, I wrote to you, what's your email, mate? Because I want to have a word with you after we finish this event. And here we are, a few weeks later. It's good. It's good we do it. And by the way, it makes sense. It takes some time because we are all overwhelmed and bombarded with information, data, and obviously things to do and people to help and to wake up to the hidden nature of reality, to what is not shown on TV and the mainstream media, which is really important. And I love your work, Mark. Really, I love your work. And I would like to obviously ask you some questions as well.
Sure, we'll make that happen. And we're both busy guys. We're both jumping on a whole bunch of shows and doing videos and such. I saw one of your videos last week. You did it in Hebrew. And I sense you got a little frustrated that the message you were trying to communicate wasn't necessarily getting felt the way you wanted it to be. So you came back and did another video in English, and you tried to get your point across that way. And I was sharing some of your angst there, because I've been to that place myself the
yes,
last
I
few
know,
weeks.
I know. I mean, I also follow some of your videos, and, you know, I used to live in England, and let me put it that way. If I would still be in England, we'd probably be close mates, and we were meeting down the pub or down the cafe or whatever, and have some proper chats and visit one another and do some stuff together. But here we are in the corona period of our life, and we're doing it on a video. You know, I'm in Israel and you in the UK, which is, we can settle for that for now.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I have a lot of people to visit. Say again, sorry?
They're not letting us go to pubs at the moment. Our slave masters, our yeah. owners, our overlords have decreed that we're not allowed to go to pubs. They might be giving us back that freedom in a few weeks. They're talking about maybe opening beer gardens. So if you want to have a pint and a chat outside in the garden. But you have to order the drinks from an app on your phone.
Really?
And have them brought table. You can't be queuing up at the bar. Well, we're getting all kinds of conflicting messages, to be honest with you. So
sure.
You get that one. And then a couple of weeks later, you hear that Wetherspoons, which is the largest pub chain in the UK, may be opening up some of their pubs in July. And they have very large open spaces, and the tables are spaced quite well apart as a matter of course. Yeah. So, you know, our owners are saying that should be okay because of social distancing and all this. But we'll get into all this nonsense. We'll get into whether there's a virus and whether we should all be taking these precautions anyway during the course of the conversation. So what part of Israel are you in?
I'm in the far north. I mean, there's a bit some northern than me, but I'm in the Golan Heights, which is quite northeastern and to the north of Israel, next to Syria and Jordan, if you like.
Hmm.
I'm just above the Sea of Galilee. All right, this is a well-known place.
Yeah, I've been there. I visited Israel in 1993.
Cool.
And to Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and Tiberias, Sea of Galilee.
Yeah, yeah,
and
I'm just next to them.
Jericho and Bethlehem and all these places. So that was a very memorable visit. That's one of my most cherished sort of overseas jaunts. Quite a long time ago now, but I do have strong memories of it.
Yeah.
How have things been in your country these last few weeks, man, in terms of how do they compare to the conditions that you've heard about in Europe and in America, in terms of how deeply Israel has been put into lockdown and how draconian and totalitarian the measures have been there in terms of restrictions placed on people?
You know, you're asking this question and I have tears in my eyes because, man, it's just a question. It's moving me because Israel is really fucked up in terms of consciousness and how free the people understand they are, which they don't really. Most people are glued to the TV screen and to the newspaper and to the mainstream apps on their phones, and they think if they don't have a TV in their house and they consume mainstream media on their phone, it means for them they are free from TV. They don't see that it's the same bullshit. And I can tell you, if I answer your question, the lockdown in Israel has been, I would say, the hardest, the strongest. The propaganda over the mainstream media is still very severe, and most people are just being duped into believing it's real what is happening. They don't, most of them don't follow the alternative media sources. Like, you know, I put out a lot of material just in recent couple of months. I mean, I've been doing it for years, and even more so since I've discovered about 5G, so the last 1 year and about-ish, I don't know. But in the last couple of months, I put some material which a sane person cannot stay indifferent to this information. For example, the World Economic Forum has published the map, the blueprint for taking over the world. It's there, man. It's there for years. Not, you cannot make this blueprint map within 2 months or 4 months or even a couple of years. You just cannot. It's a huge plan to take over the planet. And just to say, under COVID-19, you have a global governance, and then you have a layer of infrastructure, and then you have a layer of 5G. So 5G is under global governance infrastructure, which is under COVID-19. So it's all being laid out. And if you go into this 5G layer of information, and just to say there's hundreds of layers of information there. So it's quite, wow, it's astonishing when you see it. It's like so many details. You know, they thought about everything with their sick brains. And you go into this 5G and underneath, you see robotics and human enhancements and gene enhancements and mind enhancements, body enhancements. And you think, where are we going with that? Now, me and you, we know where we're going, where they want us to go with that. But most people think, oh, it's just a coincidence. You know, there's nothing planned here. Another thing I've done is I showed people the plan of the Rockefeller family or the Rockefeller Foundation, a plan which was, I have it here, actually, give me a second.
That's the lockstep document, yes, from 22.
Exactly, it's this one. And you know, when I printed it because when I go out in the street, I want to have some papers with me, you know, to show people. So I just print the important bits, you know, the lockstep. And funny enough, the picture you have on this chapter, the lockstep, is a picture of cameras and antennas following you. And this is what we've been experiencing in this lockdown, in this quarantine, while all of us were locked in our house, which is true not just for Israel, obviously. They've been deploying all these 3, 4, and 5G antennas outside, the LED streetlights, the cameras with facial recognition softwares, and many other technologies which we probably even are not aware that they are there. And I've been doing all this and many other things, and most of my work recently was in Hebrew because I felt this is where my knowledge is most needed. I mean, you are there in the UK, and Mark Steele and Kate Shimirani and many others are there. But in Israel, not many people are doing the work that I'm doing. I mean, obviously, there are a few more of us. And nowadays, there's many more of us, which is something really good, I must point out. In the last couple of months, Mark, more people have woken up than the last 10 years. So, and I know it's true not just for Israel. Say again, what?
I feel so, yeah.
Yes,
This
yes.
event cannot fail to have woken up a large number of people. It's still nowhere near enough. It's nowhere near what we need, but
Agree.
it's a start.
Agree. You know, I put out a post, like a little post on Facebook. I tagged Bibi Netanyahu, Israeli Prime Minister, and I said, "Listen, mate, thank you. I wanna appreciate your work because once you said you're planning to put chips or sensors on our children," and he specifically said, by the way, "Specifically, I want to have the children," and we know, and we'll go into that later, why it's to take over the children. So I was saying on this Facebook post, thanks, Bibi, for helping so many people to wake up to the plans that you and your masters are actually having and planning to do and to have all over the world, but mostly in Israel. Although your masters are bloodthirsty, pedophile, sick people, still, I want you to know that you are helping us and the people of Israel to wake up. And please remember, you are going to lose big time. We are going to win. You are very few. We are the many. And you know, like David Icke said, and this is great, I think I also said it in the event 202. He said maybe it's the first time in history that the really bad people of the world have shown, or at least started to show their faces. They entered the room with us, and the door behind them was just shut. And there are very few, and we are many. And we are waking up. And this is a great opportunity. And like he said, David, that in Chinese, the word opportunity is the same as danger. And there is a great danger here, and there is a great opportunity. And I'm taking this opportunity with both my hands, knowing, although I have a family, knowing I have nothing to lose. I don't fear death anymore. And it's not that I'm brave, I'm just sane. I know what's on the scale here. I know what it's all about. And once you, as you well know, Mark, once you understand what's at stakes here, you cannot fear of dying. You cannot fear of that because you have other things, other priorities to deal with. If you have family, if you have kids, you want to make sure these bastards don't touch them. You want to make sure that their future is the proper future. It's a sane future, and it's a healthy future, and a thriving future, not survival mode, Hunger Games type future. And so I'm all in. I'm all in.
Yeah, I mean, this whole situation made me realize something a few weeks ago, which is the importance of rights and freedoms, natural born rights and freedoms, which are endowed, gifted to each one of us by the Creator, whatever your interpretation of that is, what people would call God. And I realized that I was actually willing to die defending rights and freedoms because without them, you don't have life.
Absolutely.
You're not living. There's
Absolutely.
nothing worth living for if you're not free. And it's been a scary few weeks. I've been through so many different emotional states, as most people probably have. There have been times stressed out and anxious. There have been times when I've been angry and just full of rage and I've wanted to lop some heads off with a samurai sword. There's been times where I've been hopeful and optimistic and I've seen great potential for how this whole thing could pan out. I go through all those different emotions. But during the course of it, I realized just how important human freedom is. You know, there are two things. You've got to have physical health. If you don't have physical health, you don't have a life because you can't do anything with your life. And if you don't have freedom, your life is not worth living. And I never really comprehended that concept until now, until we got so close to losing it. And it really brought that home to me. And listening to you speak there about the situation in Israel is so similar to so many other countries around the world. And this is proof positive. As if there was ever any doubt that we do have a worldwide cabal, a control system that have all the governments of the world in their pocket. what we've seen in response to this so-called pandemic is not individual governments of countries coming to their own decisions as to what they need to do about it. They're all taking instructions from higher ups and they're carrying out orders. That's why they all went into lockdown at the same time. The social distancing is the same everywhere. All the closures of schools and shops and stuff is the same everywhere. And this proves what so many of us have been saying for so many years, that there are invisible rulers and controllers. And we can see that now. So you mentioned Benjamin Netanyahu there. And I see with some great delight that he's in trouble at the moment and he's been hauled into court over corruption charges. I think there are three separate corruption and fraud cases against him. So for me, this is a great thing to see. Maybe you could shed some more light on what's going on there. And do you think this is a random event or do you think it has some connection to the wider picture here of this corona bollocks?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And also, I don't think it matters. I mean, although you may say in terms of politics, you could put me on the liberal, you know, right wing side, but not with this chap, not anymore and never really. I never voted for him, but it doesn't matter because once you understand who the puppeteer is, he is replaceable. Although he's like, you know, maybe his value is quite high in terms of, you know, in world leadership and his prestige and whatever, he's replaceable for the puppeteers. So it doesn't matter really if it's Bibi Netanyahu or Bubu Netanyahu. It doesn't matter who will be there in his spot as long as the puppeteers will continue to have their goals reached. And we are here to stop them from doing it. You know, on the 202 event, funny, I remember that someone, I don't remember who, but someone was speaking about, let's talk about surviving, how we can survive the day after. And I'm like, sorry guys, no. I'm not here to survive in a, like I said before, in a Hunger Games type world. I'm not going to run in caves and to hide. Fuck you, sorry, I'm here to thrive. I'm here to stand for my liberties, for my rights, for my freedom, for my sovereignty, you know? I'm not taking this shit, and I, like you said before, I will fight till the end because that's the right things to fight for. That's the example I would like my parents to give me, and, you know, my parents and my grandparents, they come from Second World War, from the Holocaust, you know? My mom, she was, my mom and her sister, when they were like 10 years old, 8 years old, a Christian family was having them as their own children to protect them. While my parents were in a, sorry, my grandparents were in a camp, you know, in a German camp. And so I heard these stories. I grew up with this stuff. And I'm not prepared to having them do it again in a more sophisticated, vicious, evil way. No way. You know, I put out a post saying Hitler was a pussy. Because although he said he would like to kill Jews, blacks, gypsies, homosexuals, etc. And he done it with tanks and machine guns and what have you. These bastards, they are lying to us. They are hiding behind walls and behind regulations and emergency laws or what have you. And they are succeeding for now to fool around millions, if not billions, of people. And Hitler was a pussy compared to what they're preparing with all their, you know, there's not even one gunshot fired and everyone is in their houses, you know, cannot eat, they cannot drink, they have to wear a mask and all this bullshit. And I'm like, compared to them, Hitler was a pussy because they're preparing the Holocaust, the second Holocaust, they prepare it quite well, you know. So I don't know much about Netanyahu. I just know that he's part of them and it's enough for me. I don't care anymore, you know, I don't care. It's time to put a stop to this hallucination. I don't even know how to call it, because who would have thought we would reach this point in our life where, and you know, the Holocaust, the Second World War was just 80 years ago. This is almost in our lifetime, you know. I'm 48 years old. You are probably more or less the same. And it's like, who would have thought we would experience something like that again? It just happened and we have to do it again. It's like, what the fuck? It's inconceivable, really. I cannot accept it, you know. I cannot accept it as a reality. Until now, Mark, I didn't put a mask even once.
Now, a mask mandatory over there right now?
Sure. Sure, but again, like you said before, there's also a lot of confusion, because most people now are walking without masks, and some people who are really afraid and they are really into the MSM, you know, they still having a mask in their own car when they are on their own, which is really mad. It's
that
like it's like I don't understand these people. They wear a mask.
Well, they're protecting themselves from giving themselves the virus.
Exactly.
Go and we don't want that.
We don't want that, exactly. So yes, there's a lot of confusion also now in Israel, but I think most of the awareness at the moment is to the, well, 5G obviously, but also the vaccines and the chips and the preparations for combining the bioweapon with the radiation technology, with the police state like in China, which is heading towards us like really, really fast. And I bet, like in the UK, in Israel, so much hardware has been put up during the lockdown. You know, so much LEDs, antennas, and so many of them. And people who were not aware before, they woke up one day, they look outside the window, or they go and take the dog out, and they're like, what's that? What's that? And they started to open their eyes just from what's outside their houses, you know? So I do hope, and I, you know, I'm there, you know? There's no chance, there's no, even the slightest chance that we're going to lose. And I know it's true. I know it to be true. We are going to win this. The question is, how many battles we are going to lose in this war? How many victims, especially children, we are going to lose in this war? Because we are going to win this war. Whether it's tomorrow, whether it's the next month. It doesn't matter now when. But it does matter when you understand there's victims and there's battles you need to win in this war. And that's my concern. And I'm here to save as many children as possible. And it's what I've been telling myself and acting upon it in the last 10 years or so. Since I learned, by the way, you know, most people, they learn about the pedophile, Pizzagate, you know, bloodthirsty bullshit happening behind the scenes. And as you wait, as you know it, most people are learning about it now. I've learned about these things when I first woken up to these, you know, parts of reality, which was almost 12 years ago. It's one of the first things I've encountered, and I was like,
fuck. It was about the same time scale for me as well.
Really? So,
you see, 2008 is when it started
same.
For me.
Yes, for me too. And I can tell you in a second how it went for me, if it's needed, if it's important. But anyway, I was like, I've learned this 12 years ago, 11 years ago. I went into it quite deeply. I was disgusted, and I promised myself that I'm going to help as many kids, children, as possible in this life. And it's what I've been doing more or less 12 or 11 years. But I kept quiet about a lot of it because people were not able to accept it, you know? It's still, for most people, it's still far-fetched, but even obviously then, back then, in, you know, 2010, 11, 12, 13, when I wrote something about the pedophile in the UK Parliament and in the Hollywood, etc., etc., people would not accept it. Now, bring it on, mate. Of course it's true, you know. People are like, they want to know about these things because they understand, they start to understand that what they thought reality is so different than what it really is. So yeah, different times altogether.
Do you feel the evildoers behind this plan factored in a certain number of people waking up, so they knew it was inevitable that this whole thing would be so blatant to some people? Again, not enough, but some people would see through this, and they accepted that would just have to be a thing. And do you feel there are other ways in which the wheels are starting to fall off this thing that they maybe hadn't anticipated? Do you think things are happening that they wouldn't have foreseen in terms of this plan starting to fail?
It's good question, I tell you, because I also speak about this subject sometimes. And see, the plan has been created by sick people, psychopaths, as we know. The plan has been detailed through, so I believe, yes, through an AI computer, through a very fast computer that can calculate all the possibilities, all of them, or all of the possibilities that a computer can calculate. So with all the advantage they may have on us, calculating the little bits that will come in tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, us waking up and reacting to what is happening, there's one thing which they cannot calculate. There's one thing which they cannot see coming. There's one thing which is not under their control. And this is our soul, our spirit, our surprise. We act from our heart. They act only from their mind, sick as it may be. We act from mind and heart, brain and heart. Always, always, whether we acknowledge it or not, it doesn't matter. This is who we are forever. And obviously they want to take it from us. They want to stop it. They want to chop. They want to cut this soul connection we have. But they cannot. They will lose because history repeats itself and they have lost in the past. Obviously, this time they have more technology and more weapons have been put in place in order to achieve or to get closer to their goals. But they cannot, again, neither they nor the computer they are using, they cannot anticipate us. Us humans made in God's image. They can try as much as they want, but they cannot stop us. And this is the one thing that, so I think and believe, that will help us overcome this situation. I don't know how much time it will take. I don't know, again, how much effort, how many victims, how many battles, you know, I don't know. But I do know that this is our, almost our only advantage. Waking up, because once the truth resonates, you cannot stop it. And it can resonate with soldiers, with policemen, with government officials, humans. Thick as there may be, and doctrined, how you say, doctrined? No. Indoctrinated as there may be, they cannot stop the truth from coming out. And it's what's happening in the last couple of months, and it will continue to happen. The only concern we may have is the internet being censored quite a lot, and more so in the coming days, weeks, months, maybe. And us, we are the voice of truth out there. And we need to continue and resonate and put out these messages of truth, knowing, exposing them and their plans, and enforcing our advantages, our freedom, our right, our truth. You know, that's what we need to do. And God, just to say, Mark, it doesn't matter which religion you come from. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist or believe in some, you know, entity or God. God always will always look after his creation. Always. I mean, everything that happens is within God's creation. You know, I give example, which is quite important, I think, for people which I don't meet normally, like your audience probably, to understand. Let's say I have a cup of coffee here, all right? And in this coffee, there's grains, right? I just drank it and that's the leftovers, let's say. So there's a glass and there's grains of coffee inside. And let's say this glass is the creation, okay? God's creation. Now these cabal, these bastards, they take a grain of coffee inside the glass. It's still inside the glass, but they try and convince us that this is reality. This is creation. Now, because it's inside the glass, it's still subjected to all the rules, or not rules, but natural laws of creation, which means they have to give us choice. See, they cannot enforce on us anything. They just cannot. They always have to give us a choice, because that's part of the game here. All right, we are given a choice. Now, because they know it, and because they cannot break God's laws, they give us a choice. Now, what's the choices they are giving us? It's either you take a vaccine or you don't have food, for example. Yeah, so this is the choice and other choices they are planning to give us within this little grain of coffee, which is actually inside the glass, which is God's creation. Now we need to see that this grain of coffee is just a little reality, a substitute reality, which they are trying to create for us in order to get us away from God's creation into their own little fake reality. Now this they've been doing for at least 3,000 years, at least. Obviously, systems and governments, kings and queens and families, all this maybe have changed over the years, but behind the scenes, the powers are still more or less the same, just their techniques have improved, their technology have improved, their way of reaching and conquering more land and more resources and more people, because we are the most, you know, we are the best resource ever created. So obviously they got improved in that, but they could never win really, because they are playing the game that is being played. It's still inside this glass, and this glass is God's. It's not theirs. It's not ours. It's God's glass. It's God's creation. So the substitute reality, we just need to help people to sort of wake up or see that this is just a substitute reality. Now we can see it so clearly today. When you listen to the news, it's almost black and white, almost. You listen to the news, it's total lies. You listen to a broadcast that, let's say, you put out, you can feel and hear the truth. Now you have to choose this one or this one. Now it's up to us. Again, it's back to us, always back to us. We have to choose. If we choose to believe the lie, we go in this road. If we choose to believe the truth, we can choose not to go any road, just to stay in the place and say, fuck you, I'm not putting a mask, I'm not paying the fine, I'm not going to buy food, I fast, thank you, fuck you. You know, whatever, I'm buying tins, you know, cans of food, it doesn't matter. You know, I have my own garden here and everyone can manage. We don't need to eat that much. We don't need, you know, we can manage. But we need to know and differentiate good from evil, truth from lies. This is what we are here to do. That's it. Once we do that, God is here and will help us. But He is waiting for us. He or she or them, doesn't matter. Waiting for us to choose. That's it. That's the way I see it.
I've got a mantra that I've pinned up around the house on a notice, and part of it reads, God helps those who help themselves.
Absolutely.
So you've got to ask for it. You've got to ask for what you want. You've got to apply your will and your intent to a situation, and it will be provided for. And I've had many examples of this in my life, particularly over the last few weeks as well. That dynamic has really come to pass. It really feels like something is happening this year. It feels like there's a paradigm shift that we've gone through. 2020, the whole world feels so different to what it did in 2019. Yeah. And I never saw it. I mean, I've been studying this stuff for years, like yourself. I've been researching the New World Order, the control system, all the different things they hope to bring in. But I never imagined it would all come in together at once at this time. And yet it has. And it's changed the world. It's changed people's mindsets. It's changed people's consciousness. And it really feels like we've entered a new era. And I'm seeing some stuff happening. So we mentioned Netanyahu is up on corruption charges. I saw a story earlier today. Italy has put Sicily's coronavirus minister in court on corruption charges. I hear that Dr. Anthony Fauci in the United States has been served with a sealed indictment.
Nice. The Queen. I did know that. Nice. All right.
Yeah, apparently so. Something is happening with the Queen of England. So she's disappeared from public view. The mainstream media over here has said don't expect to see her in public possibly ever again. So, and also the royal seal, the crest, has disappeared from the House of Commons, House of Parliament logos. So normally that's in place to show that the crown is dominant over UK Parliament, but it's gone. The seal, the crest, the royal motto has gone. And this all tends to suggest that the Queen has been ousted and has, you know, been kicked off the throne. So there's stuff happening. And this is before we get into whatever Donald Trump is doing in America and whatever may be coming in the coming months. But the world is changing, man, in ways that we couldn't possibly have foreseen. This year feels so different, doesn't it? And I think you have to have been prepared for it. It's like only the strong of will, of heart, of mind are surviving right now. Most people are in a fear-based state. It's only those that are fortified and have had some time to prepare for this that are dealing with it in any kind of reasonable way. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all mental. I mean, if you prepared yourself, I have questions to ask you about, you know, you mentioned Trump, you mentioned the Queen, you didn't mention Q in the same sentence, but...
Well, I was saving that one.
Exactly. you know, in the last few weeks, months, whatever, I have people commenting on my YouTubes. You know, Mark, it's amazing because I've been saying the same stuff more or less since 10 years or something like that. And people are commenting my videos now and my posts. And just to say, most people who see my videos and posts, they don't comment. They're too scared to comment or to show some, you know, that they are resonating with what is being said. But a lot are actually commenting that, Shai, for so many years, I thought you were cuckoo. You know, I thought you a conspiracy theorist. I thought you talking bullshit. I thought it's mad. I thought, no way. Man, I see it's coming in reality. Man, you are so brave to do it. You are so brave to insist and putting out this information. And I know you've done the same, Mark, obviously. So I just, you know, from the Israelis who are kind of supporting my work, I want to support your work for insisting on doing what's right, putting out the truth, regardless of the price one may pay for it. It's so important especially because there's still only few of us, you know, and especially in this time when as you said, 2020 is different. Obviously, things are changing and quite fast, and I do hope and I pray that very soon we will see things changing for the better, you know, that we will have hope. Just imagine all this downhill vibe that we are all experiencing on a mass scale on the planet. Just imagine, for example, Trump will come out now, or Trump and whoever will come out now and say, listen, we've arrested Bill Gates. We put out George Soros and the Rockefellers. The World Health Organization is shut down. People, we are free. We have a new economy for you. Everything is all right. Be safe. You don't have to vaccinate. You do what the fuck you want for your own health. All is good. Alternative medicine is great. All the deaths, let's say, are erased. This is like... Whoa, when there's a fresh breath of hope in humanity. I wish, I want it to be true. I want all the Q stories to be true, you know? I really want them to be true, but till now, I didn't see one proof that
well,
it's,
me ne-
it's
me
true.
Neither.
I like the stories. Say again?
I'm seeing stuff starting to happen now.
Like what? Like with the queen and the seal and these things? No.
Yeah, with the queen. I mean, you know, who would ever have thought that she could be removed from her throne, which appears to have happened. All the indications are that this has taken place. I never thought that would happen. I thought she would, you know, pass away and then the monarchy would go down to Prince William. All these CEOs as well. There are CEOs of major corporations that have been stepping down in their hundreds over the past few weeks and months.
Yeah.
What's that about? You know, it either hints at pre-knowledge of what was to come with the coronavirus thing, or these people have been taken down and are answering for previous crimes. But we're seeing politicians start to get charged with corruption now. We're seeing, we're just seeing a whole load of stuff that we've never seen in previous years. And it leads me to think that there is something happening behind the scenes, and it's going to turn out pretty good for humanity.
And if it's, I mean, I'm all up for what you just said, don't get me wrong, but I'm being realistic, not optimistic, not pessimistic, really. I'm being honest, I'm being realistic. And what if the queen have stepped down because a world government is coming? What if the CEOs of all these major companies step down because a new totalitarian, you know, management or CEO is coming to rule everything? What if it's not exactly as we see it? I mean, again, I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just keeping options open because I know.
Well, this has been suggested to me by a few other people as well. That maybe, you know, that they had foreknowledge of something that's coming and they've taken off to some underground bunkers or something like that. We can only speculate.
Maybe they've been removed from their positions because, you know, they're just basically, they've been hired to do a job and now they've been sacked. Or, I mean, you don't know. They don't own the companies. They're just the CEO. They just work for a salary and now they've been sacked. Let's just say, I'll take it as simple as that. It's also a possibility. So we don't really know. Again, I'm all up for what you just said. I want it to be true. But it may be more complex than that, if you know what I mean.
Well, it probably is. Most things are.
Yes.
So, yeah, where things go from here is anybody's guess, really. I mean, this whole situation changes week by week, doesn't it? And it becomes fairly impossible to predict with any accuracy what's going to happen next. But I think your overall view is an optimistic one in terms of this being humanity's best opportunity that's ever been offered to take back its power, take back its freedom, put down evil, put down tyranny. I mean, you know, realistically, if we don't do it now, we may never get another opportunity and probably won't, because we'll be so far into totalitarianism if the control system has its way that we'll never get a chance to take back our freedom. So it has to happen right now.
Yeah.
And we've seen some encouraging signs in terms of large numbers of people have woken up to truth and are starting to look at the world in a different way. But obviously that process needs to continue exponentially and really needs to increase. But it could happen. It could happen that way.
You know, I sometimes remind people, if you go back 10 years ago, the swine flu bullshit, all right? 11 years ago, it was 2009, I think, end of 2009 or summer of 2009, I don't remember now, but anyway. Obviously, they tried then to do it, but they were not ready. Social media was not there yet, like Facebook and all the social networks. So controlling people's minds, especially through their smartphones, I mean, this is not a smartphone, it's just a remote. I don't have a smartphone, by the way. I have a...
Me neither.
I have this type, old school. And I
dumbass
have a,
phones.
And I have a third generation, which normally I put out the battery and the SIM card and I'm like, you know, off grid. But anyway, in the last 10 years, people got addicted to smartphones, social media, and brainwashing. Just, you know, they step it up by at least 2 degrees or more, I don't know. And it's like, this is totally different than the swine flu period. Because the swine flu was only TV telling us what's going on. And now everyone is like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like you cannot pull people's heads from the screen now. And it was even more so in this lockdown, as we well know. And even behind that, Bill Gates has been playing its games. And nowadays, it's like, in a way, it's harder to persuade people that it's a hoax. Because I remember 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I just came to Israel. I've lived in the UK, I've lived in India, I studied music. You know, this is tabla drums. You know tabla?
No.
Well, I just play just one, because it's two drums, really. The bass one and this, but... This is one.
Good vibrations going on there.
This is one of them.
Good frequencies.
I hope so. And this is the bass one, which obviously you play both, yeah? Hang on. Anyway, this and many more I was doing in India for many years. And when I came to Israel, there was the swine flu story, and me and some friends, which I met when I came, we printed 10,000 A3 posters to be sent from the north to the south, to like from the north of Israel down to Eilat. 10,000 posters were hanging in the streets, warning parents not to vaccinate their kids with the swine flu jabs. Not to vaccinate their kids nor themselves, obviously. At that year, only 2% of the population got the swine flu vaccinations. So I know for a fact we've saved lives. And you know it's true. Because when you convince someone not to take this poisonous stuff, you know you save them... at least from illnesses, if not life.
Yeah, sorry, Bill. Sorry about that, mate.
Say again, what?
Sorry, Bill. So, Bill Gates. Sorry we
You know,
deprived yes. you of some of your vaccine income and some of your... out there.
Yes. So, but you know, 10 years, 11 years forward, people really want, you know, a lot of people still really want the vaccination because they believe this will save them from a fake-demic, you know, from whatever they are being told is happening and whatever they are...
It's lack of personal responsibility, isn't it, Shai?
Yes.
You know, people don't want to have to face up to the truth of a situation. They would rather disempower themselves to an entity called government, get them to make the decisions for them, get them to tell them how to stay safe. They'll take a vaccine because they're told this is what they need to protect them from harm. They don't want to have to do their own research and work out how to maintain a healthy body and how to keep your immune system boosted and how to stay in a good vibration, a good spiritual state. People just like to abdicate all that to somebody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Life is easier that way.
Yes. And actually it's not, but they believe it's easier that way. We know it's not. We know it's much more fun to come across things yourself, to discover things yourself, and to come over challenges that coming in your way. I mean, this is what we are here for. And when you give all the responsibility and there's no surprises anymore, everything is predictive. Everything is, you know, like predictive programming, obviously. Everything is known. You know what you're going to do tomorrow. People think life is about work and mortgage and what the fuck, man? You know, after living some good years in India and really living like free, I came to Israel and I learned that the government wants to fluoridate the water again. And I started to fight that poison stuff. And I wanted to go out of Israel. I wanted to leave Israel. Why? Because something in me could not accept the fact that I live next to other human beings who don't mind to be poisoned. They don't care. And I'm like, how can... I'm sane. I consider myself sane. How can I stay among crazy people who don't like to be... who don't mind to be poisoned by their own government? Anyway, many things have happened since then, but to make a long story short, basically, nowadays, the brainwashing from the social networks, the social media, and the mainstream media is so hard that most people are still in this game of, yeah, there's a, pandemic, etc. But as you said before, many people, like by the millions. We can only see David Icke's video with, what's his name, with Brian in the London Real. I mean, yes, millions of people have watched it since it was censored. It's like, yeah, man, go on, censor some more, you know. It's doing the job. So it's quite interesting that, definitely interesting times, Mark. Definitely interesting times. And things will not go back to normal, what we call normal, ever again. Which is good. Changes are good.
Yeah, do we want that? I mean, exactly. However we emerge out of the other side of this situation, do we want to go back to living under tyrannical government regimes? Do we want to continue paying taxes? Do we want to continue being told what freedoms we can have and which ones we can't have? Do we want to continue serving the system and, you know, all these ways of living and just getting brainwashed by TV and popular culture? It's nothing that's worth going back to, is it? We've got an opportunity to turn a corner here to something better.
It's, and you know, in the last year, I've interviewed, I don't know, more than 100 people. More, all right? And I've been doing interviews since 10 years, since on my YouTube channel, you know? But in the last year, since I... It's so funny, you know? I speak with you and I feel like you're my mate and we totally understand each other. It's like we can also not speak, but we're doing it also for others, obviously. So when I saw the Sasha Stone film with Mark Steele, The 5G Apocalypse, that day, or the day after, I contacted Mark. I said, I have to speak with this guy. You know, I felt his vibe that I need to speak with this guy. You know, I need to learn some stuff. Since then, I've interviewed, as I said, many people, experts, in all sorts of fields of research, technicalities or philosophies and many things. That, have you heard the word communitarianism?
I have heard that, yeah.
Do you know what it is?
It's a combination of voluntarism and, well, it's a variation on voluntarism, I guess, a cooperative kind of society where people trade services and
but you see, this is something which is so, I mean, just to spell the word, it took me at least a couple of weeks. All right, communitarianism, what is it? It's been here decades in the making, and I'm going to tell you something, and this I learned just from the people I interviewed, and I was like, more, and I have more to interview about this thing. Now, why it's important to know about this, not because it's important as an objective, but because it's part of what is being done now all over the world, and it's part of the plan. What I mean by that, you know the Hegelian dialect, right? So you take a thesis, antithesis, and then you get synthesis, yes? Or problem, reaction, solution, let's say. Now, communitarianism is, if you like, a combination of communism and capitalism, all right, into communitarianism, or finding the balance between the needs of the individual and the needs of the community. Or, it's just ways to explain it, all right, without going too deep into it. Or, what is being done at the moment? You know, flood the zone, this term from the event 201, flood the zone. So it's since the simulation of the coronavirus happened in the event 201, the phrase flood the zone relate to everything in the mainstream media, in the social media, has to be about corona. Everything. If it's a new children's song, it's corona. A new ad, it's corona. All the talk shows, corona. Everything has to speak about this. So the brain, our brain, will have no gap, no chance, no 1 second to think about something else besides corona. Now, in that sense, they manage quite a lot, because most people do got brainwashed into this corona, and the zone got flooded definitely with this story. Now, just think that in the same way, they will put a new software into children's brains, into our brains, but I'm talking about now and the future. Again, this is the plan. It's not going to happen because we're going to win, just a reminder. But again, this is just the plan. So, a new software which will make us accept that our needs are less important than the community needs. For example, we should take vaccines in order to keep public health. All right? This is just one example.
And also, we've seen that in the narrative that you should stay at home and save lives. This is the mantra we've had in the UK. So the idea, you might want to go out and exercise your rights and freedoms of movement and meet up with whoever you want to meet up with, but the needs of the community, of the collective, are more important. If you go out, you could be spreading this virus. And so to hell with your rights and freedoms, the collective is more important. It's that kind of idea.
Yes, and this is part of communitarianism. Another example is that because we want to save the planet, according to the Agenda 21 bullshit, all of us should be moving into cities in order to save the landscape or to save the resources, etc., etc. This is part of communitarianism. Again, it's a combination of these needs and that needs. But they don't speak the word that much, but they just imply and apply the actions in order for people to accept it as the new normality. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was the governor of California interviewed Bill Clinton, and they spoke about how to apply communitarianism in California. So this has just started to come out. Again, it's part of the plan. Now, the emphasis which I'm putting here is on the word software, because if Agenda 21 is an application for all the world, the codes, the actual software or the codes who build this app, coming from communitarianism. What's funny is communitarianism is coming from a guy called Amitai Etzioni. And I learned this from Lark in Texas, Vicky Davis, and mostly from Nikki Rapana. Great researcher. She's been saying it in the beginning of 2000. Just to understand, 20 years ago, she already put stuff about communitarianism, all right? And Rosa Corey, which we all know speaks about Agenda 21, etc., she learned about this from Nikki Rapana, just to put things straight in favor of Nikki Rapana and not to take down from everyone's effort to reveal the truth. Still, this communitarianism is just the software to brainwash everyone with the new normality. So you have, like communism, like in China, you have to minimize yourself and your needs as God's creation in order to allow the state to equalize everyone's needs or something like that. And this is very, very dangerous because this is flooding the zone with false narrative, with false rules, regulations, ideas, philosophy. And this is very, very dangerous, basically. It's what I'm saying. And most people don't know even this is what's happening. And when you understand this is what's happening, and obviously, you cannot speak about it too much because most people are so bombarded with information. This is like too much to comprehend, you know? But it's real and it's happening day by day just without the word communitarianism. Like you said, don't go out because of the community, etc., etc. So you have to balance your needs and the community needs. And this Amitai Etzioni is bringing this stuff, believe it or not, as far as I understand, God forgive me if I'm making it wrong, you know, if I'm making a mistake here. But he brings this from a book which is called the Talmud, which is coming from the Hebrew, all right? It's coming from, it's not the Bible, it's a book that is coming from Babylon, from the times of Babel, where these elite families, bloodthirsty, I would say, families coming from, thousands of years. Remember I said this goes for thousands of years. So it's coming from Babylon, and they're actually implementing Babylon on the world using now it's communitarianism, instead of us implementing Israel on the world, but good, the good Israel, if you know what I mean, because you know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world, and it's towards Israel and Jews. But the way I see it, the people of Israel are suffering at least like everyone else. But it may be that there's some truth in it, that who is running the show behind the scenes are actually families. I'm not talking about Rockefellers. I'm not even talking about the Rothschilds. Because these families, you know their names, meaning possibly they are not the ones in control. Because those who are in control, you don't know their names normally. I mean, at least as a system to control, you will hide yourself, right? So some family names arose in the last 1 month or 2 months, which are coming from the people of Israel, or the Hebrew nation, from 3,000 years ago, or 2,500 years ago, from the exile, the first exile from Israel to Babylon, and then back to Israel. But some families may have stayed in Babylon because they really liked what was going on there. I mean, the paganism, the sacrificing children, all sorts of practices which belong to the evil side of life, let's say. And they have practiced their control in Iraq, in Babylon, and then they went to India, and then they went to China. And their business was often, as much as I understand, again, if I'm making mistakes, God forbid me, I don't mean to make mistakes, it's not in my intention, but I'm trying to tell a story which actually makes sense and also help others to see why anti-Semitism, in a way, is justified, but not against me or people like me or normal Jews, which are like you. I just want to live my life and let me be, you know. I don't want to control anyone. And most people here, they don't care about this. They just want to live their life. Like the Arabs, like, doesn't matter, Muslim, Christian, Jews. But these families, they have gained their control over the years through the business of drugs trafficking, diamonds, gold, human trafficking, and so on and so forth, as we know. And fast forward or slow forward 2,500 years till now, we see the control system is doing a lot with drugs, human trafficking, all right? Both of them are quite a lot. And the, I would say, those who implement most of the things are actually coming from China. China is, you know, the Red Dragon, the Communist Party of China, is actually the working hand of the globalists, all right? It doesn't matter now if it's China is the top dog or Rothschild or another family. It's not about that, but just China is being used as to take over with their hardware, whether it's smart cities, antennas, everything is manufactured in China. You know, most of this stuff is manufactured in China. And whether Trump likes it or not, whether he cooperated with that or not, it's not the question now. Just to see that it's coming from China and these families control China. These families control some parts, to an extent, India, businesses, hotels, energy, utility companies, you know, so their hands is so deep in the Western world and in the modern world, and they are controlling mass amount of population and mass amount of resources around the world. And I will give you the names after we finish, if you don't mind, the names of these families, because it's important and I don't want to endanger myself. But just so you know, yes, some of these families, at least some of these families, coming from the people of Israel. It doesn't mean that the people of Israel are bad. It doesn't mean that the people of Israel are to blame. It's these families, and they don't care about Judaism. They don't care about God. They don't care about goodwill. They care about control. They care about enslavement. They care about all the bad things that we know that are being done on a mass scale. And one last thing, which is really interesting and important. In the States, I guess it's something you know as well, Mark, every year something like 500,000 children are disappearing, just in the States. It's something like 1,356 children a day. This is an industry. It's not one day a pedophile have woken up and say, yeah, let me kidnap a child. No. It's an industry of human trafficking, kidnapping children, and doing like really evil stuff like Jeffrey Epstein Island. And this is just one island. Just think how many islands are there like Jeffrey Epstein, you know. And we need to wake up to that and understand that this evil is not just lying us on TV about fake pandemics and stuff. It's like real evil is going on behind the scene, Pizzagate, and some stuff that I would like to talk with you about, by the way, about things that you've discovered over the years about the industry, the music industry, etc. But these things are real, and we have to open our eyes. And I'm not just saying for me to say that I'm trying to save children all over these years, it's not just, you know, I'm just saying it. No, it's real, because I know that these things are happening, and it's awful, you know. We have to stop it. We have to stop it. And God is looking and is waiting for us to act. And only when we act, God will interfere. If we don't act, He will not interfere, because we are here to choose. And once we choose to act, and even not to participate in a bad action is an action. So even when we choose not to participate in a bad action is good, and God will interfere, because again, it's more deep than just someone is looking at us and saying, okay, you act, so I'm interfering. It's more complicated than that, but if I can only say it as is, I think I know that we cannot hide anymore, and we cannot let others do the job for us, and we have to speak the truth, and we have to take responsibility also for fuck-ups we have done over the years, and stuff we have not done, and because of that people and children have suffered and lost their lives and their dignity and their freedom. And yes, that's it for now.
Well said, brother. And like you just said there, isn't that what the vast majority of people on this earth want, just to be left alone? We have no interest in controlling and dominating other people. There's a great speech by Charlie Chaplin in The Great Dictator, this yes. movie. You yes. may have heard it. It's often described as the most motivational, galvanizing speech ever put out there. And, you know, he's just saying, I don't want to control or dominate anyone. I just want to be left alone to live freely. And most of us want this. Unfortunately, there's just a small number of evil psychopaths that just will not leave us alone. And they're a constant threat to us. And though we would love to live freely, we can't just sit back and relax when they're trying to put this evil down on us. You've got to do no harm, but take no shit.
Yes.
That's an important part of it, the self-defense principle. So you live freely, you seek not to harm others, but if others in turn are harming you and bringing danger to you and your family, you are obliged to do whatever is required to stand up and defend yourself and those that depend on you, and put that evil down.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. That's the way we should be living. That is the code to life. I think we'll leave it there, man. That's a wonderful message to end on that you brought there. Do you just want to let people know where they can find you online and just give us a recap on your YouTube channel and some of the work you've put out recently?
Well, my YouTube channel, I think you've said it at the beginning, it's Ahava 528. Ahava 528. I put up a lot of material in English, especially over the last year or so, but even before that. So yeah, some good interviews, some good guests I brought over this last year. So feel free to go and dig. And also, I have my website, but although it's in Hebrew, you can do some Google Translate or whatever. It's ahava528.com. But the slogan is actually raising the frequency. So I'm putting it out as raising the frequency, and you will get to my website. And also I have a Facebook page and people can find me there, although I really love to leave Facebook, and I hope to do it very, very soon. We see. Is there a way to ask you some questions?
Well, why don't we do that on a different show? We'll start a new show.
Excellent. We'll do that.
So we'll terminate this show here, but I'll jump on as your guest and then you can ask me some questions.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mark. Talk to you in a second.
All right. Thanks for coming
on today.
Okay. Bye-bye. So